Welcome to Life as a Melody with Patricia Danielli and Rich Greenwood. Each week, we will feature inside information about the music business, the creative process, and marketing and technology that helps connect fans with music. Drawing on more than 20 years of music training and performance experience, Patricia Danielli will share details about her musical career, her original music, and the creative process for how songs happen. As a virtuoso who both sings and plays many instruments and has experience that ranges from performing at Carnegie Hall to the Caribbean in Europe, Patricia has much to share as a composer, performer, and producer. Rich Greenwood, who as a journalist, marketing writer, photographer, and videographer, has worked with some of the most powerful brands on earth, including Apple, Google, B of A, Pizza Hut, and more. Rich and Patricia will talk about how they are building Patricia's brand in the music industry and how you can use these tools to further your business and music careers. Each week, Patricia and Rich will interview music and business experts on what works and why. Each week will be an example of how life as a melody is played. Well, folks, thank you so much for joining us. This is episode five, of Life as a Melody. Patricia, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. How are you doing?
We have a great show lined up, and you have some interesting news to share. We've got a great special guest, the great Walter Earl, great producer and composer. He also has an amazing life story that's going to bless everybody on the show. We've got some news you can use. And Patricia, you got an interesting call today.
I did, yeah. I have some good news. I'd like to congratulate a San Francisco Bay Area producer that I've had the privilege of working with a few years ago, and will have the privilege of finalizing some music this year. And I congratulate Michael Starita. StaritaSF.com. He is a producer. He won a Grammy for Best New Age Album with it's been an exciting weekend, basically. So
that is amazing. So you had a chance to work with him a few years ago or recently? When did you get a chance?
That's right. We started working about 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. We worked on a project, and we got down to almost the last step, and so now we're, finalizing it, and it's been really great to work with him, and he's very hardworking, and he deserves this, and it's going to be an exciting year for sure.
Wow. Well, folks, that's some amazing news, and please keep up with the news about what's going on with the music business, what's going on with Patricia Danielli's music specifically. If you want to learn more about Patricia, go to her website, Patricia Danielli, that's Daniel with an I, patriciadanielli.com, and make sure to stay in touch with us on the fan page, facebook.com/lifeasamelody. To hear about how a Grammy award-winning producer who has already worked with Patricia, and there's going to be some adventures ahead. Very exciting.
That's right. Well, right now we'd like to invite you onto our question of the week. And
awesome.
If you'd like to call in. So I'd like to know from you guys, what was the last song or album you bought on iTunes, and do you usually buy songs or albums? Let me know. Call in 914-338-1303.
Right on. So folks, again, call 914-338-1303 to let us know if you buy songs or albums, and tell us about what that is. Give us a call and let us know what's going on with you. Okay.
That's right.
And so that's fantastic. And now I guess we're ready to introduce our special guest.
This week we have a San Francisco-based performer, producer, composer. His name is Walter Earl, and he began his career in Dallas, Texas. And he's worked with some of the best jazz musicians around, such as Ken Boone, Kenny Kirkland, Mark Little, Claude Johnson. He played with Herbie Lewis. He's played with a lot of different people. He's described as Bay Area cool, and his sound is a really unique mixture of jazz, hip-hop, and retro soul.
Right on. Well, thank you so much, and here we go. Let's welcome Walter.
Walter,
good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us on Life as a Melody, and it is a distinct pleasure and honor, folks, for me to introduce you to Walter Earl. But let me tell you just a little bit about Walter, and then I'll have him fill in some details as well. Walter and I met about a year and a half ago, was it, Walter?
Yeah, about a year and a half ago, yes.
We met about a year and a half ago. I was playing a gig with my band. I'm in a blues band called Crimson Blues. And if you guys want to look up that, you can look up Crimson Blues and join our 11,000 fans. But in the meantime, I was there for a gig in somewhere near Fremont, and I met Walter, and I was instantly taken by his demeanor, by his outlook, and I was also very touched by the pain that he was going through at the time. We spent a little bit of time together right there in Fremont.
Yes.
And at the time, Walter, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were in between homes at that time, right?
Yeah, I was in between and being homeless. And
right. And we spent a little bit of time together, and one of the things that you and I talked about was about the fact that you wouldn't always be in that situation, and that I gave you some contact information so that we could stay in touch with each other and celebrate each other's lives,
right,
and stay connected. And one of the things that I was really taken by when I met you was the amazing pedigree that you talked about. And I've since educated myself a little bit more about that since, but I'll just tell the fans here on Life as a Melody about, you know, what you told me and a little bit what I've researched since. And
sure.
It includes an amazing background that spans from the time that you were a young man till this day, some classically trained, lessons, of course, and some
sure.
great experience with some amazing people such as Herbie. What was his last name again? I'm sorry.
It was Narada Michael Walden. I worked with Narada.
Yeah.
And I worked with the great Mr. Herbie Lewis, who was Macari Tyner in bassist, and also played with the Crusaders, because I studied with Joe Sample for a little bit. I was just being at the right place at the right time, meeting the right musicians. Didn't have a problem with, they saw something in me. It wasn't the guys who were my peers. It was more guys who were more older that saw something more deep than the person who was around my age, a little younger, just like they understood me more. I guess what it is, because I was always connected around older musicians and gospel musicians, because I'm from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to know blues and gospel if you come from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're a singer-songwriter. And then from there, you can do whatever you want. You know what I mean? Then forever. But that format, like blues, jazz, singer-songwriter, and then your classical and your jazz, that was the most prominent thing from back home, and learn how to play every style and learn how to have your own style. But I was blessed being at the right place at the right time. And for me, I was, for me, like I said, I was 20 at that time. I met, it was Richie Haven who turned my life around. I didn't know who he was. And then it was Tony Bennett who told me to play piano. And then it was Dizzy Gillespie who told me to keep my head up. And now I didn't even spend like one day with these people. I spent 2 weeks. Now, that's a blessing, you know, and
now,
I was honored.
Wait a minute. You heard this from these people directly?
I was with these people directly. You can. I had an editor that I met. We became the best of friends in Dallas, Texas. You can hunt him down.
Yeah.
He's amazing. His name is Tom Boone. He wrote 7 articles on me.
Yeah.
And he one time I went to go make a delivery, and he said, "Are you high?" And I said, "No. What are you talking about?" He said, and he said, "Are you sure you met these people?" So next time I make a delivery, I go back, and he goes like, "You're right. You did meet these people. I did my research."
Wow.
I said, "Thank you, sir," because people really think I'm lying. And at that time, an ex-girlfriend of mine's high school Christian, still to this day, she saw me. I had every picture, every celebrity with autographs.
All right.
And my family and friends, you know what I mean? But to make a long story short,
Hang on a second. Let me get some context to the people listening on the show, because one of the things that that we talked about doing today, and one of the reasons why Trish and I are so honored to have you on the show today, is to talk about this amazing journey you have had, so I just want to lay down a little bit of context, and then let's add some meat to the bones, folks. Walter is a living example of how to manifest a fantastic career through faith, hard work, and dedication. If anybody is listening on the show, whether you're looking to get into a music career or not, if you just want to have a life, if you want to have a life worth living, my friends, Walter Earl is an example of how to make that work. From going from, you know, just trying to get by on the streets of Fremont to today working on some amazing projects that we'll get to in just a second, Walter is a living example of how to make that work. So, Walter, I want to, you know, just follow up on that for just a little bit. We'll come back to some of these amazing celebrities in a second. I want you to just, for the fans, synopsize just briefly your journey from where I met you to where you are today, and touch on a few things that made a big difference to you about how to get from there to here, okay?
I think what happened is, for me, I kept having my faith no matter what, because that's the I was taught that as a kid. I never, you know, I was always mad, though. I was always asking the Lord, why me, for a while, because, you know, I didn't do anything like hard drugs or anything to get in that situation. I just got my heart broken. And I just kept my faith. And every time I was on the street, I meet a guy saying, "What are you doing out here?" Mm-hmm. And then I heard another guy say, "Hey, anybody named Walter? I had a dream. God said you're going to be..." And that would scare me because nobody knew me.
What?
You know, but you, what? Yeah, what? There was...
You had somebody come up to you on the street and say,
while we were sleeping. We were sleeping in tents, you know, also doing the occupants. And somebody said, "Is anybody named Walter?" And then my friend said, "Here he is." "Hey, Walter, you're going to make it, man. You got a great soul, brother." And I looked at the man. He said the word "brother" the way you say it, Rich. And it scared me because, like, you know, I've been hearing, you know, I kept running into other things off and on like that, kept running into people giving me money, knowing that they need money. They say, no, you don't need to be here. Something special about you.
Yeah.
He said, you're not afraid to be among. I said, God wasn't afraid, man, to be among all these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when he drank wine and he did everything, but he kept his focus, what he has to do for people who loved him and who loved God, you know. And, and I just kept my faith. It was scary, man. It was cold. It was nighttime in North Beach under the bridge. But I kind of met a crew of amazing people. I met the rocker man.
Mm-hmm.
I met the bread man. People were just happy where they are, but they found a way how to really survive with that kind of lifestyle. For me, it was really hard for me to navigate sleeping in buildings, sneaking in buildings.
Sure. Wow.
Sleeping, looking really nice. You couldn't tell that I was homeless.
Right.
Sleeping behind sofas where the camera couldn't see me.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, if my friend, you give me a code to come to your pad and you know, to your place of residence, I keep your code, but I sleep in the lobby.
Right.
That's what I was doing, and I never let my friends knew that I was sleeping in the lobby because I didn't want them to get in trouble.
Wow.
So I had to do something, man. I would stay up until, like, you know, I went to this believe it or not, I went to this bar.
Yeah.
Because I was bored, and I went to this bar, and everybody thought I was a liar. Next thing you know, within, what, 4 or 6 months, the whole bar starts saying, wow, car. They start seeing articles of me in the paper. They start seeing these other.
Because
they, once again, they kind of remind me of the editor that I met in Texas.
Yes,
he didn't believe me. I don't know what it was. But the guy said, oh, my God. So the bar started taking money and giving me money to get to school. And I cried. That whole bar right today is like my family. They helped me. They put money in my pocket, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I slept in schools, man. I snuck in buildings. I slept underneath pianos, grand pianos.
Walter, this is fantastic. And along all these times, you had your faith, you had your vision, and you had your music, right?
Right.
So
tell
me about how during this period of time, tell me how your music helped heal you, and tell me about how you're using it today to inspire others. Tell me a little bit about that.
Music is the key. You know, music has no color. And I've been around a multi-race of amazing people that made me look at myself. I've seen people transgender from whatever. I had crummy jobs from a week doing things. And, man, I'm used to working for law firms and being spoiled with bonuses and you know what I mean? And things that I didn't have nobody bail me out this time, no this or that. It was really hard for me. And it was to keep that transition. I wanted to commit, things on the, I wanted to do bad things on to myself at that time. I didn't want to, what I mean by that, I wanted attempt on my life, you know, that I was mad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it seemed like everybody who looked at me was, felt different, new people in my life. They didn't know what to think of me. They said, okay, this is piano dude, but at the same time, I had kind of say, hey, man, are you on crack? Hey, man, are you in this? And it was hurting my because what happened, I stressed out and I lost a lot of weight, and I was too embarrassed to go anywhere. I locked myself up in the room for months and still do my due diligence, you know, when I still had a place. And at that time, before I lost my place, when I just couldn't think, man, I swear to God, man, I was around hell at night. I saw killers. I saw people hurting people. I saw things. But those same people who hurt people, they looked at me and said, hey, man, you're special. But I was scared to heck because for some reason they saw something in me. Over the Lord through me, you could want to see me. They were vicious, mean people, you know. And they said, we just want you to do the music. And so I started playing that glide and singing the anthems, giving back because I was there. And then I started saying, you know what, I got to write these songs about the world. This is what's going on, you know. Like, I know it's all about this and all about how it is, but nobody talking about how that struggle is and how people came in their life and made them fire, and you know, and so I've been writing songs, you know, for the love. For the love is about, you know, the musicians who've been in my situation, and artists, painters, who've been in, you know, who had that moment where they couldn't like get out of that, and they had it, you know what I mean, and they finally get out and they redeem themselves, you know what I mean, and they get back. Making it. You get what I'm saying?
I totally get it.
Yeah, that's been my thing. Oh, my heart and passion is I just left the place. I play piano. It's not a gig where I got the write up and they get so happy when I stop in, like, where you been? It's like, well, I don't come in all the time when I feel it.
Right,
when the Lord guided me to come here, it's not like I'm going to come, you know?
Right.
I do because I don't have a piano, and I want to play this piano, and it sounds amazing good. And love it, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And that's why I go there. I said, so the name of the song that I'm doing is like, I do it for love. You know? In other words, you giving music for love.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
You know?
Oh, that's,
you know,
fantastic.
And that's what's going on, and that's the song that I'm working on, and it makes me cry every time I listen to it. I'm not done.
It's a beautiful thing.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Everything, the world is in need, you know,
yeah.
Rich. Really,
right,
you know?
Right.
And
I hear you, man. And this is,
I'm
this
seeing
is why
things
we're talking,
that people not.
You know?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
this is what we're talking about. And let me cycle back to just a couple things. Folks, when Walter's talking about Glide, you're talking about Glide Memorial Church, right?
Yes. Yes.
And, folks, Glide Memorial Church is famous, actually worldwide, for welcoming anybody in the door. So you ended up playing at Glide.
No, what happened is Mr. Cecil Williams saw me at Hotel Nico.
Mm-hmm.
He came. I didn't know who he was. Remember, that's how I met all the celebrities. I didn't know who was what. And then some of the people knew me and said, Walter, what are you doing here? But
mm-hmm.
when I was playing, he came over to me and said, who are you? I said, Walter. He said, what are you doing here? And my words are, I'm practicing. I didn't want to say I'm homeless. Or he did, you know.
Yeah,
he said, you made me cry. And I made the Cecil Williams, you know. And then the rest are happening, like the Escovedos, Juan Escovedo, Randy Gallery. They all have studios. So I've been working with these guys on projects.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So everybody's like, oh, my God, Walter, you're going to make it. And these same guys who told me that, I'm still in their life because they're my brothers. Them the guys who told me to hang in there. Here's my number. Believe in God. Do not give up on yourself. Keep doing it, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then I call my teachers. They'll say, Walter, don't give up on the music, no matter what. You know,
let me touch on that for 1 second, Walter, because that's really important. I want to make sure everybody's listening. Get that. And again, everybody's listening. You're listening to Life as a Melody. Please friend us on Facebook at facebook.com, Life as a Melody. And we are here to help inspire you about life and about business. And we're here with Walter Earle, the great Walter Earle, who is an inspiration to all of us. And I want to touch on something that you just talked about, Walter, and that is, you know, you're there at the Hotel Nico. You're just playing some music. You're just practicing. You're showing up, right? See, so folks, one of the things I want to just make sure that you heard Walter talk about is he kept showing up, right? And then you have this gentleman come up to you, and he said he cried because he was taken by the music. And folks, I want to encourage you, everybody that's listening, allow yourself to get really enraptured by what you're doing. Whatever it is, if you're in business, if you're in music, if you're trying to get something going, believe that it's possible, believe that it can be, and let your emotions just get invested in that, because when you do that, this happens that Walter's talking about right now. So you're there. You're meeting with these people, and then now you're working with these people, and then you got involved in school, right? What? Tell me about
that. I got in school. I started because I already won 14 awards, you know, and then I wanted to just know more what I'm doing, you know, the other things. So next thing you know, I start doing this film thing, and then I started working with one of my professors who worked with David Lynch, and he's helping me mix down all the music I did for Amy's music for the Sundance Film Festival. I was the composer for it. And I'm, like, shaking because I'm working with all my professors. But they think the world of me.
So wait a minute. You're talking about this year's Sundance Festival or last year?
Last, within the time I was at Hotel Nico, I was in cinema, and I worked with my professor, and I did the score for Amy, a producer.
Oh.
And educator for her movie for Sundance, and Dan and I worked on it. I was on it like, Dan did all the, he worked with David Lynch, and he also brought in the guy who did Farrah Foster.
Yeah.
Man, that's the biggest high for me. I'm working with this man, you know, and he's a guy, if you don't know, but get Walter.
Yeah.
And the guy is like joy. Yeah. Never was like meaner.
Yeah.
It was never a day that he wasn't happy. And he made you want to be unhappy. And then somebody told me about the cinema department. And I had an attitude at the time. I went to the cinema department. I met Ms. Pulaski. and I met this black man, the beautiful man. He said, "I just retired from Capitol Records." And I looked at it. I still had an attitude, because I was like, "What I got to do?" He said, "Well, this is what you got to do now, Walter. You did this and this and this. You already been in the world, Walt. You take this and this son, and I open the door for you."
Yeah.
Said, "Are you kidding me?" He said, "Go see Miss Pulaski." So she wrote this piece of paper down, Rich.
Right.
I still have it today. I knock on the door. I said, "Here's your paper." I said, "Oh, my God." I said, "Yes, ma'am. I was so sorry about my attitude. Everything."
Yeah.
She said, No, "You're a star now. I got your pictures everywhere. Yeah, to everybody about you. You're an inspiration to the school." And, man, look, everywhere I go, they, you know, I'm just honored to know that I stuck with it, didn't give up. I mean, I walked away from the music business, you see? And I walked away because of my heart broke.
We were just talking about some dues that you were talking about paying. This is interesting, and I want to make sure that everybody that's listening to the show gets this. And one of the things I want to make sure that they get is that you had already won 14 awards. And tell us just a little bit about those awards, by the way.
I work with some DJs. And and these DJs, it was amazing. One was signed to Columbia Records.
Mm-hmm.
And his
mm-hmm.
brother was doing soundtracks. And he was also going to American University. And also a big, amazing artist right now in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I say, "Hey, Walter, can you do this soundtrack for us?" I didn't know what he was going to do, and he gave me a script.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at the script. He said, "You need to take it home." I said, "Nah, I'll finish it today." And he started crying. He's like, "Dude, where are you coming from?" And I didn't have, only had a backpack with this thing that I saw with Al Mays. And then anyway, to make a long story short, I was so excited. And he said, "Walter, we won 14 awards."
Oh, man.
And I'm like, "Wow, man, that makes me look good, man." You know, I'm like, that I did the whole score, you know what I mean?
To
know I did the music all the way through.
Oh, so
that's
good.
What I was, that was one of the purpose of moving here to San Francisco, to work with more people.
Right. But the thing is, the thing that's cool about this is you won all those awards, but yet here you are years later, and then somebody you respected said, "You know what, Walter? You still got some dues to pay. Here's what you need to do. You blank, 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 and here's what's going to happen." So I want to encourage everybody on the call to understand that wherever you are is where you are, but to get to where you want to be, you might have some more work to do. You may have already done X, Y, and Z. You might know X, you know, who knows, right?
That's true.
But if you want to get to a particular place, you gotta humble yourself. You gotta
really
be,
do, man.
You know, you gotta be right there. And you know, I want to touch on something else too. You know, you mentioned early in the interview that when we met, I called you brother, and I do that to people, and I do it because I truly believe I am my brother's keeper. And
That's
one of
right.
the main things that I'm excited about with this show, with this life, with this mission, with the whole concept of life as a melody, is us helping one another. Because, Walter, I want to tell you, brother, you are helping me. You are helping Tricia, my co-host. You are helping everybody that's listening to this show. You are helping this world be a better place by being who God has got you here to do.
That's true. You know what I did, too, Rich, to everyone who's listening is, if you want to make it, find the place where you want to meet, where you want people to hear you. See, I went on the streets. I went in a place where people, where there are piano class of people, Grammy people. So they got to go to the show. They're going to hear me in the lobby. So I have to be on my A game. So I went to places where I know there was people who had class, who understand musicianship, who understand singer-songwriter, who understand what they're hearing. Rather than go play for a tip. So I wouldn't. I wasn't going to that place to go for tip. I was wanted to play and hope that a single songwriter said, "Hey, I want you to work with me." And you know what, man? I had got a lot of jobs, but at that time I never had that time to do these people work. Because at that time I didn't have my computer or nothing. And but that was a blessing for me because everybody who played music in the Reza Room, they offered me, Rich, to come in to help engineer, to come bring your own band in here. And I was honored, but I kept sticking to my game. And the guy who gave me the offer to come to Hotel Rico, keep in mind, I went to successful job. And then my teacher, Ken Boom, who worked with Lyle Mays, 11-time Grammy guy, said, Walter, this is what you do now. Go put on a nice suit. Go in there and said, I want to be the rest of the hotel pianist. I said, I did that.
Mm-hmm.
So when I did have a website up, the guy said, what are you doing here? Now I'm about to break down and cry because I already told the guy what happened. Now he's asking me, looking at my website, and he's judging me like, oh, my God, this is amazing. Oh. And he's looking at me, and he's looking at the website, and he's looking at all the people I played with. It. That don't mean anything, sir. That's my past.
Yeah.
He's talking about right now. This is a new life.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
He said, but it seemed like everybody who plays in the res room seemed like they know you. I said, I have work with half of the people, sir. I hire half of those people to play with me. And I headline with half some of the people. And that's what happened. I put myself in an atmosphere where I can be spotted.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
I think
that's what you do. If I'm a good guitar player, and I want the best guitar singers, songwriters to look at me. I'm going to find out where all the best guitar players stay at, and I'm going to go straight in there and play so gracefully that they're not going to say leave.
There you go.
I didn't go there looking like, tearing me down or whatever.
You
put yourself, you know what I mean? Because I was taught, when you're down, you never look down.
Oh,
I was taught that all my life. You never let a person know you're down. You hear what I'm saying? You keep with the Lord, man. And I'm telling you, like, I just kept my music going, and it was all through him. You get what I'm saying? Because every time I write, I heard.
Yeah.
Yes,
and folks, if you're listening to the show, we're not here to evangelize or anything like that. But if you've got a relationship with a higher power or with God, or you know, if you want to use the word Jesus Christ, that's okay with me.
That's right.
Walter, we've got to wrap things up, but I want to thank you so much for your time today, for your inspiration, for being, you know, part of my life as a melody.
Thank you.
And Trisha and I are so happy to have you on the show today. I want to finish up with just a couple things. One, how do people get in touch with you? What do they do? Where do they go?
Okay. First, I can give you my... Well, you can get in touch with me with my email first, Walter5band@yahoo.com.
Okay.
And then if they wanna call me, just in case, 415-678-8147.
There you go.
And if they need any encouragement, like I said, man, I really mean it, guys. If you're a violinist, go where all the best violinists go, you know?
Yeah.
If you're a drummer, you just don't go where all the other drummers go. Where you think you know, you gotta know it in your heart, you know.
Right.
And you gotta feel it. You just can't go, I'm gonna go here. It don't work like that. You gotta know in your heart, man. You know, don't plan it. You just go. You know, will be blessed.
Yeah. And then just real quick, give us another rundown, real quick, of some of the amazing people you had a chance to work with. You mentioned Tony Bennett.
Yeah.
You mentioned Dizzy Gillespie. What's a couple more people that we might know names of?
These are people who inspired me to be a musician before I became a musician. And me and Richie Havens been friends for over 20 years before he passed away.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I work with Eric Abadu, Jill Scott, Roy Ayers. I work with Norda Michael Walden. I work with In Vogue producers all at FM Studio in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
I work with a lot of the guys from Bill Summers' band. They all producers in hip hop, and I work with TC and Enhancer.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on the board of hip hop with Black Alicia, Sinai, JT, the Big Figures, San Quinn. There's just so much, man, that I've done, and let's keep going. I headline with Kim Natalie, Marcus Shelby, the Bay Area too. You know, classic
because
we got a lot of beautiful Bay Area musicians.
Yes,
and
do.
I just that Bay Area musicians is not getting notoriety like New York or whatever. We have so many people, and I would love to just really try to find a way to bring that back to the city.
Yes, sir.
And
well,
also
you know,
work with underdogs, you know?
You got somebody here that is interested in maybe helping you do that. Trisha's looking forward to meeting you in person and maybe looking forward to the idea of possibly doing some music together. So we're going to make that happen.
Sure.
Too. But
that
folks,
sounds great.
Thanks again so much for being my friend, for being a brother of mine, and you know we're gonna do a lot of things together in the future, Walter.
I believe
folks,
that.
just keep tuning into Life is a Melody and get in touch with Walter if you want to get inspired, if you got stuff that need to be scored, you need some music and everything like that. He's a great person to go to. Thank you so much again, Walter.
Thank you, too. And thank you, too, Melody. Love you.
The Melody. We love the Melody. All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Wow, great. Thank you for that fantastic interview, Rich. It was very touching. What an incredible story, from homelessness to music success, and how Glide Memorial played a part in his journey, too. It's just a great message of just finding the courage to keep on and how important it is to keep finding that same message each step of the way in a bunch of different places, wherever you can find it along the road. That's kind of our topic of inspiration or our theme. We're constantly, you know, in need of inspiring ourselves again and again. It's interesting how he said he walked away from the music business because of his heart. You know, Walter is a true artist. He's very inspirational. So that was great. Thank you for that. Next, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but don't go anywhere because right when we come back, I'm going to play one of my original songs.
Frank Orozco is the founder of the unique tequila event Agave 52. He and his team have more than 25 years of combined experience in the wine, food, travel, fashion, and nightlife industries throughout California. The main goal of Agave 52 is to bring the next generation of tequila drinkers together with the experienced tequila enthusiasts in a stylish, urban atmosphere while educating them on the many different complexities of premium tequilas. This concept, along with an abundant selection of ultra-premium tequila choices, makes for an event you will not want to miss. To find out about the next Agave 52 event in your area, go to agave52.com. That's agave52.com. Since 2003, Skip Pass, design director of West Coast Leather, has been creating beautiful new leather collections. Working with television, movies, and magazine features, Skip is the designer to the stars for leather fashion today. West Coast Leather selects only the highest grade of leather. This ensures that each piece of clothing feels as soft as silk to the touch, is light to wear and move about, and durable enough to last a lifetime. This is one of the key reasons why West Coast Leather is known for the finest quality leather clothing in the world. West Coast Leather creates new collections each season and continues to push the envelope on leather design, from sexy corsetry to military styles and riding jackets, raw edge washed leather with exotic inlays, eco-friendly leathers, as well as the inclusion of amazing silver hardware. There is no limit to where West Coast Leather can take leather design. To get your leather fix for 2014, go to westcoastleather.com or visit them in San Francisco at 290 Sutter Street or 400 Castro Street, or call 415-362-8300.
Yeah.
Trisha, that is a great song.
Thank you.
Hello?
Thank you.
I had myself on mute for a second because I was eating cereal in the break, folks. Sorry. so that was that little pause there. But, Trisha, that's a great song, and the title, I'm assuming, is Brand New Day.
Yeah, it's called Brand New Day.
Tell us just a little bit about it.
Okay. Well, it's basically an inspirational song, and it's about, you know, like starting over and just being able to see things different in a brand new way, and you know, it's going to be used for a commercial with some people out in Chicago and things like that. But, yeah, I mean, inspiration is the name of our topic here. And, you know, it's just an important thing to keep, you know, inspiring yourself and finding it somewhere, you know.
That's fantastic. Well, folks, we have a lot going on today. We had that great interview, great inspirational stuff. We've heard a wonderful song by our very own Patricia Danielli. And again, if you want to learn more about Patricia, go to patriciadanielli.com. That's Daniel with an I on the end, patriciadanielli.com. And again, this is Life as a Melody. And you can friend us on facebook.com/Life as a Melody. And we're part of the Easy Way Broadcasting Network. And we want to encourage you to connect with our great benefactor, Eric Zuli. You can look him up on the Internet. He has hundreds of thousands of followers, millions of viewers. Look up Easy Way Broadcasting, Easy Way Network, and connect to him on Twitter and Facebook as well. I've got a little bit of a music business news to talk about, right, Trisha?
Yeah, that's right. You know, and if you want to call in too, you can do that. The number is 914-338-1303, and just talk to us about anything we're talking about today. But I mean, we're going from inspiration to we're going to talk a little bit about the industry and the business of making a hit. So it's a little complex. I found a website, and it's called Planet Money. It's the Economy Explained, and it talks about how much it actually costs to make a hit song that we hear on the radio.
So, nice. On Planet Money.
That's right. That's right. And they took one of Rihanna's songs as a example, and they broke it down and you know, explain what all of the costs were just to make one song for Rihanna and in the process. So it's very interesting.
So how does it break down?
It starts off in a thing called Writing Camp. And for each song, there's basically the record label, you know, gets a bunch of studios and songwriters all flown in, producers, for a couple weeks. And they just write songs, you know, for the album. You know, and you know, they're getting paid, you know, like 18 grand. I mean, these are rough.
Okay.
They put some rough calculations.
Okay,
people
sure.
went within the industry and got these figures. And so a songwriter would make 15, a producer would make 20, vocal producer would make 15, mix and master. So you have, like, the song rollout is $1 million. The cost of rolling out the song, you know, marketing, flying the artist around for promotions, and you know, getting the radio to play it is over $1 million. So
$1 million, not a problem.
just one song, you know. That's how that stuff is done. No big deal, you know.
So that's pretty interesting when you compare it to, you know, the methodology that we were talking about with Reggie of Cruisematic a couple of weeks ago. He had a slightly different path because, of course, you know, not everybody's got $1 million, but it is very instructive to know the costs of making a hit for somebody like Rihanna. And the thing that's inspirational to me about hearing that really is that you know, when we see Rihanna, Katy Perry, and all these people up on the stage, you know, and we say to ourselves, why? How do they keep getting back up on the stage? Well, now we have a pretty good insight. It's $1 million, you know, right? You know, I mean, if you have $1 million to put behind that, it's, you know, it's much more doable than if you got $680.
And that's
right?
The key word. It's much more doable. It's not even a guarantee. Like once all that's done, once it's all said and done, you know, it's not even, you know, a guarantee that it's going to be a hit. You know, you may end up, the song might not sell well. There might be little radio play, you know, so they, you know, they do what they can. And it's just an interesting method. It's like when you talk about that level of the industry, that it's just kind of like this calculated, like, you know, what are we all going to do now? What's the next hit? Like, it's this cold kind of, you know what I mean? Instead of just, you know,
it's like
you
a
know,
machine.
When people talk about,
a little bit like a machine.
Well, yeah, I mean, for sure, yeah. You know, it's just interesting.
It's fascinating,
you know,
isn't it? The whole idea of the song camp or whatever, I'd never heard of that before. Had you heard of that before you saw that in that article?
I mean, I've heard of it before, but I just, you know, just loosely with all these other, like, music industry terms and stuff. But it really broke it down, and it said, you know, 78 grand to make the song, another million to roll it out. You know, the song gets added to playlists across the country, gets a banner ad on iTunes, and it still might not even be a hit after all that. So.
But here, let's get a plug in for you on this. You know, folks, if you're putting together a little song camp or something like that, and looking to add an alumni to that, Tricia, you're, in addition to being a singer and a musician, you're a composer, so you know that might be a good thing for you to look into.
Oh yeah, I've always been, you know, into songwriting. Actually, that was like the first thing I really wanted to do was compose and write songs. You know, and the instruments and singing is just a way of doing it. But yeah, I mean it's interesting. Like, what happens is if you're in that level of the industry, like only if the label recoups what it's spent on the album, then the artist gets paid at the end of all that.
Wow.
So, that's an interesting process, you know. So, it's an interesting...
So I guess one of the takeaways for that is that everything in life is an investment. Everything. You know, you got time, money, energy. You got a few things in terms of resources. And I guess the key takeaway I had for this kind of thing is, you know, you could, like you said, you could spend $1 million and not even have a hit, or you can, like Reggie's talking about, you could build things up, you know, just by bit, you know, every dime counts, and maybe get a hit. It really just depends on the quality of the product, you know?
Oh, yeah, and the marketing that you do and just how hard you work. I mean, a lot of people these days are just doing it themselves, you know, without the big, you know, record company and all that. And it's really possible to get yourself out there in all these ways now. You know, like if you want to be on TV now, just make a YouTube, you know, channel or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all this. So it's just showing the comparison of, like, that level, you know, versus, you know, what independent artists are trying to do or just, you know, local musicians or, you know, other ways of getting, you know, to our music out there, basically. So
Right. I mean, that, I guess the Rihanna approach, you know, looking at it like a machine, this $1 million a song machine approach is very effective for her, of course, because she's got the income coming in now to fund all that. Mm-hmm. But like you said, what we've both seen happen, and one of the things that we're going to be careful not to do with you is you get in really deep financially on a production, on a risk of it working out. The key really is to do some testing along the way to get a sense of where you're at and where it's going to be, and try to and try to be as frugal as you can, you know, on the front end, so that on the back end you're going to be able to keep doing it, because that's the key, you know. I mean, when I was listening to your song, A Brand New Day, you know, if we could just say that to ourselves every day, honestly, and sometimes I don't, right? But if I could say to myself mm-hmm. every day when I get up, it's a brand new day. In other words, I don't have to carry the baggage of yesterday. I don't have to
mm-hmm.
worry
mm-hmm.
about what happened yesterday. I get to pick it up
yeah.
and, you know, and do it today, you know, right?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, you have all the, you know, the pieces, basically. And, you know, it's interesting because at the end of the day, you know, do you think of Rihanna as really an artist because, you know, she had this whole team write her music, you know, you know, they do, you know, a lot of times you save money and stuff like that by doing it all yourself. You write your own music,
mm-hmm.
you record it yourself. You know, you can save massive amounts of money, apparently. I didn't spend $78,000 on that.
Yeah, right. There's another component to this, too, that is sometimes when we see somebody like Rihanna and we think, wow, she made this happen. She is, like, larger than life. She is unapproachable.
Yeah.
There's no way to get it.
Yeah.
Now we know by looking at this list,
yeah.
listen, there is there's a million-dollar machine going on here. Yeah, she's very
exactly.
talented. Yes, she's very beautiful. But, hey,
exactly.
there's a machine, you know, helping this going, you know?
That's
that
exactly
actually makes me feel better,
point.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the point I was trying to prove, Rich. That was kind of, you know, that's what I took from it, you know, being an artist myself and, you know, out to these other artists out there. You know, it's just, you got to know there's something else going on, and, you know, there's a method. You got to create your own method, your own path these days. It's really interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, cycling back to the very beginning of the show, basically, you've been able to work with a Grammy. You've worked with a couple of producers, but you've been able to work with at least one Grammy-winning producer for less than for $1 million less than Rihanna is spending. So there you go.
Well, yeah, because I'm not Rihanna, so
yeah,
it was a different deal. I didn't, you know, buy my songs and all that stuff. And what's great is, you know, they get paid after everything is recouped, you know. So it's
mm-hmm.
actually better to do things yourself and be, you know, you get more of a percentage of, you know, your work back. I don't know. It's just a different route.
I think, sure. That's what the takeaway is, really, is folks, there's different routes to get to where you want to go to. And be encouraged that wherever you're at is where you're at, and you can get the resources you need to get off from zero. And then once you get your own jet and everything like that, like Rihanna, you can do $1 million a song and just kick back. But in the meantime, when you see somebody like you know, Rihanna, Lady Gaga, Alicia Keys, or whoever you're happy to see, see it in the light of the fact that there is a lot of infrastructure underneath these people that are keeping them going. So when we see them up on a pedestal, sure, they are up on a pedestal, but they got lit, you know, it's a pedestal made of cash. And so just don't be discouraged about where you're at, because you can always get off from zero where you're at right now. Does that make sense?
Exactly. That's very well said. So that was brought to me by a producer from Motown that I've worked with, you know, very interesting article, and called How Much Does It Cost to Make a Hit Song?
Mm-hmm.
So, we're constantly.
So again, folks, if you're listening, please do connect with us on Facebook, Life as a Melody. On Facebook, and we also encourage you to participate in the show. Make sure to tune in next week. We're going to be posting on our Facebook page in the next few days some very exciting things that are upcoming in the next few weeks, and we want this to be interactive. So you know, we want to make sure that you guys are calling in, send us information. Please post comments on our fan page about things that you want to learn about, where you're at. And certainly, if you're a singer, a songwriter, if you're in the business already, or if you're thinking about getting in the business, we want to hear from you. We want you to be part of this show because life as a melody is for you.
That's right. And we have one more quick little segment here. We're going to do our do's and don'ts in the business of music making. And
all right.
And our topic is your Grammy acceptance speech. So it's time. You won. What are you going to say? What do you don't say?
Oh, boy. All right.
Give me a do or don't to start us off.
Okay. I would say one of the don'ts that I would love to suggest to anyone, including myself, is don't make a giant list of all the technical people that were part of it. You don't have to thank specifically everybody that you've ever worked with or known. It's better, I think, just to get the emotional impact of the award out.
Oh man, really?
You?
I kind of like when they. Well, personally, I like when they do that. I like that long list. You know, it kind of reminds me, just like, you know, I don't know, just hearing Charlie Brown's teacher talking. No, I like that though. I think it shows
you
they
do?
Really put the thought into each and every person because they were all a part of that team or whatever. So yeah, I'm gonna disagree just because it's fun.
All right.
Okay.
Now, what about a do or don't from you?
I would say do speak clearly and like and don't mumble and look away. I think I was seeing that happening the other night during the Grammys. And, you know, I mean, short and sweet is good, but, like, you know, just some of them, I don't know if they serve alcohol, but it seemed like some of them were just a little bit forgetful or weird or something. I mean, they say you should always have something planned and prepared, right? So
right.
We're going to make sure we have.
One of my moments of those award shows is always the handoff of the actual award. It just always seems like the most awkward thing in the world. I don't know why it ends up being that way, but the actual handoff always ends up looking like you know, why am I getting this? What's going on? Or whatever. But those are all great information. And
cool.
Folks, we're thankful that you were with us on Life as a Melody. Again, friend us on Facebook, facebook.com. Life as a Melody. We're gonna hear you next week. And Tricia, this was a fantastic show, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.
We're going to see you guys next week, and same bat time, same bat channel, and hopefully at least two or three people old enough to know that that's a reference to the show Batman.
All right.
See you guys next week.